1-4-1-9-5-1-1-0-2-5. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Neil Lennon says he's focusing on the Scottish Cup semi-final rather than who could replace him as Celtic boss. Will John Robertson come back to haunt Craig Levein and Hearts in the other semi? And the championship could be wrapped up this weekend, but the battle at the bottom is every bit as important. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Craig Beattie and Hugh Keevans.
The Celtic story so far under Neil Lennon: undefeated but unconvincing. Does the manager, who's on an interim basis, need to win the Scottish Cup to become the manager on a permanent basis? Well, my response to that would be, would Celtic have sacked Brendan Rodgers if he had failed to win the Scottish Cup? Of course they wouldn't. So Neil Lennon shouldn't think that his job prospects depend on the outcome of the game against Aberdeen on Sunday. However, his approval rating would undoubtedly rise if Celtic won with style at Hampden. That would prove that the magic dust hadn't left the club for an address in Leicester.
Two big games this weekend, Craig Beattie, as far as the Scottish Cup goes. When it gets to that semi-final stage, what's it like to play on those occasions?
Yeah, knowing that you're one match away from getting to Hampden for the main showpiece, it's a great occasion. There's probably more pressure on that than the actual final itself. Once you get to the final, you know, it's a one-off game and you take your chance, but you know, there's probably more pressure on the semi-final to try and actually achieve your goal and get into the final.
Right, the number you need tonight is 0141 951 1025. No top flight this weekend, it takes a bit of a rest, but that doesn't mean that you get to take a rest. So come on, Rangers fans, Motherwell, St Mirren, everyone else that is missing this weekend, give us your thoughts. What's happening with your team between now and the end of the season? Is it already about building for the next campaign? You tell us. 0141 951 1025, or we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. It is a big weekend in the championship. Ross County technically could win the title this weekend, and the battle at the bottom is incredible. So we'll do as much of it as we can. Get your calls in nice and early, or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's hear first of all from Neil Lennon. He believes the desire from some to see Celtic's domination end will motivate his players ahead of the game on Sunday. They've won the last seven domestic trophies, of course, closing in on an unprecedented treble-treble. Lennon says the players do not want it to end.
It's another game. It's the next one. It's the most important one because it's the next one. And that's really the mantra. And we know that everyone outside of the club would like to see us lose that domination. So that's the incentive for the players, is extra motivation, if you want to call it that, to, you know, keep prevailing and keep coming through these, you know, really stiff tests. It's a semi-final and they'll want it as much as us. But again, I can't comment on their mindset. I can only comment on what we want to do. And that's to get on the front foot, create a good tempo to the game and create some early chances if we can. But, you know, they're rigid. You know, they do defend well. They do specialise in making themselves difficult to break down. So it's something that we've analysed and looked at, and hopefully we can improve on.
Now, a number of names have been linked with the Celtic job, not necessarily with any substance, but the names have been linked nevertheless. And with Neil Lennon only in charge until the end of the season, he says he can't let that speculation get to him.
Can't stop it. You know, that's, you know, natural, and it may be that's the way, you know, the club might want to go down that road. It's they'll make the decision. It's their club, it's the fans' club, and it's important for them that, you know, going forward, they're happy with what they're doing. So regardless of speculation, it's inevitable anyway. Just concentrating on the here and now and staying in the present of the job until I'm told otherwise.
Yeah, he's taking a very sensible attitude to it all. Neil's been through this movie before. He was interim manager following the sacking of Tony Mowbray. And there was much speculation at that time over whether he would or would not get the job. And he lost a Scottish Cup tie straight away. So he knows what's going on at Celtic Park. I have sympathy for Neil Lennon because he has to get Celtic over the line in two competitions, having taken over from Brendan Rodgers, whose departure from the club was seismic in the eyes of the supporters. I do understand when he talks about others wanting Celtic's domination to end. Of course they do. You want your team to win and you want the rest to lose. So that's perfectly understandable. That is the essence of rivalry. Celtic need to look after Celtic, which they will set out to do on Sunday.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And what Celtic have done is they've put somebody in there who's who's got the cojones to go and deal with it. You know, he's been there for years. He knows what the club's all about. You know, the board know what Neil Lennon's all about. And, you know, I feel for him to a certain extent with the pressure that he's now working in. Everybody's, we're still going on about Brendan Rodgers, and, you know, he's got massive, massive shoes to fill. We're now talking about the next manager. So Neil's in there, and unfortunate for him, he's working under, you know, a lot of dialogue between the previous manager and the next manager, and not a lot about the here and now.
What about on the game itself? We heard Neil Lennon saying that everyone out with Celtic wants them to fail, wants their domestic dominance to end, and therefore the players can use that as an extra motivation.
Sure. Aberdeen have been in Glasgow three times to play Rangers this season and beaten them each time. Therefore, Aberdeen are a team of substance. The whole season hasn't been full of substance, but they are capable of giving Celtic a tremendous game on Sunday at Hampden. Celtic haven't lost to Aberdeen this season, but as I said at the start, under Neil Lennon, they are undefeated but unconvincing, and they will have to bring the A game to Hampden on Sunday to be sure of playing Hearts or Inverness Cali Thistle in the final.
Is that all part of the psychology of the dressing room, Craig? Is that about trying to build up some sort of siege mentality? I mean, Neil Lennon talks about being an extra motivation. You probably don't need any extra motivation to get to a cup final, win it and win a treble. But is it just that extra couple of percent saying, you know, look, everybody's desperate for us to get beat, we'll go and show them?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, that won't have any outcome, and, you know, on the final result on Sunday. What we'll do is how the players respond to the occasion, how Aberdeen play. They'll be thankful that they're not playing at Pittodrie, because they're struggling there at the minute. So they'll look at this as an away game, in which their form's been really good of late, as opposed to their home form. You know, from a Celtic point of view, they'll take positives from. Listen, they've not conceded a goal in the competition so far. You know, they've beat Hibs, St Johnson and Airdrie, with scoring what, 10 goals and not conceding any. So that's, albeit that was the Brendan error, but that's good for him taking into a semi-final.
01419511025. That was Craig Beattie. Hugh Keevans is alongside him, so let's start hearing from you. Paul is in Pollock Shaws. Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
What's your point tonight, Paul?
Evening, panel.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Matt.
How you doing? Hugh.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like to just address something that you'd said at the start of the show, if that's okay.
Of course.
You made a kind of analogy there with Brendan Rodgers, and you said that if Brendan Rodgers wouldn't be sacked if he lost the cup final, therefore Neil Lennon shouldn't be ruled out of the job if he loses it.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you're comparing like for like there. I mean, for a start, Brendan Rodgers was already made permanent manager. Neil Lennon's not, he's interim. And also, Brendan Rodgers had already done two back-to-back trebles. He's already won the League Cup, and he put Celtic 8 points clear. So he had a lot more stock in the bank with Celtic than Neil Lennon's got at the moment. And also listening to you, just that you said a moment ago as well, I mean, I respect your opinions, you, and I like listening to you, so it's not, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you just for the sake of it. But you also said that, sorry, I'm losing my track. I thought there was another thing that you said there about Lennon as well. I can't quite remember what it was now, but...
Maybe I'll help you.
You also said that you felt that he'd come in and he's got to get them over the line. But I would look at that in a slightly different way as well. I would say that he's come in with an 8-point lead, and basically he's got to not lose an 8-point lead as opposed to kind of getting them over the line. I mean, I'm maybe kind of picking a wee bit with that one, but I don't think that the analogy that you made is a fair one, really.
Obviously, Brendan Rodgers had an account in the Bank of Goodwill that was unsurpassed in Celtic's recent history. But I just think it's unfair that everyone is looking at Sunday and saying, well, if Neil Lennon loses that, then automatically his prospects of becoming full-time as opposed to interim manager disappear out the window. I don't think it's entirely fair. I do think that when he took over Celtic, yes, he had the 8-point lead, but I'm sure you remember how you felt yourself that day, Paul, when you heard first thing in the morning that Neil was coming in because Brendan Rodgers had gone off to Leicester. Now, we had a programme that night, and for 2 hours, the Celtic fans showed how distraught they were over that. He's taken over Celtic at an awkward time. Yes, he had the 8-point lead, but the loss of Brendan Rodgers was devastating. So he is undefeated. For that, I commend him. He is unconvincing. For that, I am drawing attention to the fact that Celtic don't seem to win matches with any great deal of conviction at the moment.
I mean, at the same time, Hugh, you yourself have called it an audition. So that, yeah. I guess that's what Paul means. You know, a slip up during an audition is perhaps more fatal than a slip up would have been for Brendan Rodgers.
I think that the names that have been put forward so far are unrealistic. You know, Roberto Martinez.
I mean, newspaper reports today ruling him out anyway, yeah, and AVB and all the rest of it. But
I do think that Neil is a viable contender for the job of Celtic manager on a full time basis. Paul is perfectly entitled to come on, and I take it from Paul's opinion that he wouldn't be in Neil Lennon's camp.
Is that fair, Paul?
Well, I like Neil Lennon as a person. I love everything he's done for the club. I totally respect him. But I just think that if you look at what he did after he left Celtic, and that was where he was really getting tested. And then also, you know, the way the team have been playing since he came back, I just don't think that he's really a step down from where Celtic had elevated himself to with the appointment of Rodgers.
And now you raise an interesting point there, Paul, because I was talking to Craig earlier on, and I said to him, Celtic made the Hollywood appointment when they get Brendan Rodgers. This was taking the club to a different level. This was raising the bar. Never mind these £2.5 million wage, excluding bonuses. This was a man taken from the higher echelons of English football. And that doesn't normally happen to us in our game. So he raised the profile of a club in particular and our game in general. And I think Paul is representative of that group of Celtic supporters who say, we did raise the bar, we did make the Hollywood appointment, and we want Hollywood again.
This is the hardest job that the board are going to have. Peter Law and the board, for as long as I can remember, have got every decision right. The managers that have brought in, from Gordon Strachan, Martin O'Neill, moving on to
Hugh wouldn't agree with you, Ronnie Dyle, if you're about to list that. But let's not go over all ground on that. I don't want to get Hugh worked up about it.
You know the fact that they're just on the verge of winning 8 in a row, they get it right. They got it absolutely spot on bringing Brendan in, because, you know, as far as football in terms goes, he's pretty much a genius. And, you know, I've worked with him, I've seen it firsthand. And since I've seen it firsthand, he'll have learnt a hell of a lot more at Liverpool and the likes. What a job they've got in their hand now, trying to replace the last manager that they appointed.
Is that the way you see it, Paul? You know, at a different time, you are happy with Neil Lennon, but because the bar has been raised, your concern is that the next appointment, if it was Neil Lennon, doesn't match.
I think there's now a stronger challenge coming from Rangers as well. And I think that if you're going to appoint Neil Lennon, two things you've got to accept then as a Celtic fan. One, you've got to accept that you are taking a step back from where the club had placed themselves when they took Brendan Rodgers on. And also, you're accepting that you are taking a big, big risk on losing out in 10 in a row. Whereas if you do go and spend a bit more for the next couple of years and try and guarantee the 10 in a row, I know there's no guarantees, but appointing Neil Lennon is really is placing that at a great risk, in my opinion, you know.
Okay, that was Paul and Pollock Shaw. So let's see if Paul in Cumbernauld agrees or disagrees with what's been said. Hi, Paul.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I've never heard so much nonsense to that guy in all my life.
All right,
honestly,
okay.
A Celtic supporter, you really wonder sometimes with some of these guys. But anyway, the night that Judas left, I spoke to you about Neil Lennon, who's given the job, and he was of the opinion that with the rest of the panel that there was no rush at all, but which I didn't agree with at the time. But I think the time has come now that once we win this game on Sunday, Monday morning, the Celtic board appoint Neil Lennon as manager, and let's get on with preparing for next year.
I think, first of all, I would take issue with what you said about the previous Paul. Just because he has an opinion that's contrary to yours, that doesn't make it nonsense. And you don't understand some people. He's a Celtic supporter the same as you. He happens to hold an opinion that's contrary to yours. That doesn't make it nonsense.
In Paul's opinion, it is nonsense. So let's not get too bogged down in that. What about the actual substance of what he had to say? Make Neil Lennon the manager on Monday morning if he wins the game. It's bold. It's to the point.
I can assure you it won't happen.
If they were going to do that, he would have been appointed already.
Exactly.
Neil Lennon's job's... He's not... Listen, Neil Lennon could win the league.
Is this not the major hurdle, though? Because everyone's expecting him to win the league, so...
Yeah, well... But it's a bit of a hurdle because you get through it at the final. There's no guarantee that you're going to win the final.
Yeah, exactly.
Neil Lennon could win the Scottish Cup. he could win the league and still not get the job.
Yeah, you also said then that there is more pressure in a semi because when you get to the final, it's the one off. You know, you can lose finals. You surely would acknowledge that losing the semi final would be more damaging to Neil Lennon than losing the final.
It would be because you've not actually got there. But in terms of from a playing point of view,
do you know the whole problem here? And Paul, the first caller, raised it. This is all about 10 in a row. Neil Lennon, when he took over on an interim basis from Tony Mowbray, lost a semi-final at Hampden straight away, but did not lose the right to become the Celtic manager on a full-time basis. And he started the following season as the permanent manager of Celtic.
Paul, let
me
ask you.
That was back then. Yep. The difference now is that Celtic are on 8 in a row. And the next season, the fans demand 9 in a row for the second time, because that gives them another level of bragging rights, because nobody's done 9 in a row twice. And then the manager of Celtic has to win 10 in a row and create Scottish football history. That's why it's different now. Neil Lennon could lose a semi-final as interim manager some years ago and still become the manager, because 10 in a row was a pipe dream then. Now it's verging on a reality, and the supporters are getting more and more tense about the whole thing.
Paul, what's your analysis so far of Neil Lennon since he's come back into Celtic?
Well, I think he's been getting a right hard job. But at the end of the day, this is what I'm trying to say. It's not his team, right? So he's got to tread carefully. Now, Neil Lennon's all about passion and getting his views across. Obviously, he's not wanting to rock the boat too much. He's wanting to get the Celtic over the line. And anyone that can't see that really needs...
Let me ask you again. What's your assessment of how his team have performed since he's come back in? Not what he offers, not how passionate he is, not that he runs down the corner flag to celebrate. How has he done so far since he's come back in?
He's unbeaten, and he's in a semi-final of the cup.
Performance-wise, are the Celtic fans happy?
I don't care about performance. We beat Rangers at Parkhead, and he's unbeaten, and he's in the semi-final of the cup, and I trust him to bring in better players than Brendan Rodgers ever brought in.
I mean, it just depends how you choose your words, doesn't it? Paul called it, you know, Paul said here that Neil Lennon was given a hard job. You can understand why people would take issue with that. Taking over a team 8 points clear at the top of the league with the biggest and best squad in the country wouldn't be everyone's idea of a hard job. It might be awkward because of the circumstances, but you can see where people would maybe query that.
Very interesting, the two polls have been on, how polarised the Celtic support are. The first poll believes that Neil Lennon is a retrograde step. The second poll believes that performance is unimportant. Totally unimportant, so long as you win the match. However, once we're into next season and Celtic are going for 9 in a row, I can assure you, performance will be important.
01419511025. Let us know what's on your mind. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And remember, just because your team might not be in action this weekend doesn't mean you can't get in touch. What are you expecting between now and the end of the season? What about personnel for next year and so on? Get your thoughts into us after the travel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Evans and Craig Beattie are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Two ways for you to get in touch: the phone and on Twitter at Clyde SSB. That's where GM has been on. When the big games come, Celtic turn up confident the win on Sunday. If Neil Lennon wins the treble, he deserves the job and he should be allowed to build his own team. James McCloskey, though, says Neil Lennon and Cup matches, his record's actually poor, losing to Morton in the League Cup, Kilmarnock and Ross County in finals, and Hearts in the Scottish Cup semi-final too. So he must beat Aberdeen and win the Cup to get the job. Losing to Hearts in the Scottish Cup semi-final,
who'd have believed it?
Hey, Craig Beattie, remember it?
Yeah, I remember it very well.
Glad to see you've got your t-shirt on tonight.
Top's on tonight.
Kept it on.
Listen,
talk us through it.
What bit?
All of it. The goal, then the celebration, then the stick, perhaps. You get a lot of stick to this day for that.
Even going back before then and the pressure that the lads were under, it was the well publicised era where Mr. Romanov in charge of the club, lads not getting paid. It was a really difficult time. We got through St. Mirren via replay in the quarterfinals. We get Celtic in the semi-finals. You know, massive, massive underdogs. And then Hibs get to the final on the Saturday. We're the Sunday match. So again, we're Edinburgh rivals. I've already gotten to the final. So there's a bit of pressure there to go and match that. We had a feeling that we would have the upper hand over Hibs if we could get by Celtic. We went 1-0 up, 46 minutes. And then we lost one with about 5-6 minutes to go. An offside header from Gary Hooper. And then we get a penalty last minute, and you know, Jamie Hamill was our penalty taker at that point. He had just done his cruciate ligament, and there was no designated penalty taker after that. So I had kind of made up in my mind that if we got anything, I'd be grabbing the ball, and that would be it. Had a little bit of plan of what I was going to do with it, and managed to dispatch it. The rest was spontaneous. Just kind of wheeled off, seen a little gap in advertising holding. Last minute, a lot of pressure. It was a huge kick. You know, as I said, for the club and obviously for myself as well, and you know, took the top off and went away celebrating like a maniac.
Listen, people are so divided on issues like this. There are a lot of people out there who go, who cares? Who cares if you're playing against your old club? Celebrate. You know, it's your moment. You deserve to celebrate. Lots of other people feel like it's, you know, whatever it is, disrespectful, biting hand that used to feed you. All of those types of cliches. Is any regrets?
It's happened. Probably not. Probably no regrets. In terms of, that was such a big moment. I mean, it was iconic for Hearts. You know, I went into the Hearts shop a couple of weeks after it, and the place was like a shrine. You know, I've got coffee mugs in the house with my silhouette on it, with the slogan "Let's all do the beauty around it." And to be fair, at a point where Hearts needed to generate some money, that helped them no ends to give them even a hint of survival as a club before Anne had come in.
Listen, it's not a sin. You may have noticed I'm quite an old guy.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
I remember Alfie Cohen, Rangers icon, who left Spurs to come back and join Celtic. And I remember his celebrations in a Celtic scarf after winning the Scottish Cup at Hampden with Celtic. So I remember Stephen Presley getting Celtic out of a hole in the Scottish Cup up at Inverness, former Rangers player. You know, it's not a sin. You come back, you play, you're a professional, you have to do what you need to do as a professional.
I mean, speaking of things I never want to see again, Craig Beattie without his shirt on, and Hugh Keevans, correct me if I'm wrong, I went on Twitter this afternoon and saw a video of you on George Bowie's toilet.
Yes. You know,
I mean, come on.
In films, you get people with walk-on parts. I had a sit-down part. I take it as a, you know, it's a potential BAFTA nomination, I think. But it was very entertaining being in George Bowie's house. No boom boom music, let me tell you.
It's on the Clyde One Facebook page if you're wondering what you're on about. I mean, Craig, overall, and you've, like you say, plenty of time to look back on that now. I'm sure you've been asked loads of times. Did it change your relationship with Celtic fans, or is it just one of those things?
Yeah, it has, to be honest. You know, I get quite a bit of stick when I'm out and about. I'm constantly getting asked about it.
Sorry, but this will be the last time.
Listen, I've got to be totally honest. It was nothing to do with the fact it was against Celtic. It was nothing to do with supporting this club, supporting that club. There was such big pressure on that kick. One, purely because it's semi-final cup, but, you know, people didn't see what I had seen. At that point, I had left Swansea City. We were doing really, really well. You know, wages were good, all that sort of stuff. Then I come up to Hearts where there's lads not getting paid. You know, they're not paying bills. Or, you know, they're not even bringing juice or anything to training. You know, they're literally, it's dire straits for these lads. And I was in a slightly different situation. So much so the PFA had got involved and said that if you generate any money through the Scottish Cup, we'll withhold it and we'll make sure the lads get paid. Because the boys weren't getting paid for months and months on end. And that was a really tough time.
0141 951 1025 on the lines. Let's speak to Doogie and Airdrie. Hi, Doogie.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I was listening earlier on, and I'd actually, I phoned in to take a bit of umbrage in terms of something that Hugh said, but Paul, the first Paul on the line, got there first. But there's another couple of points I wanted to make, certainly, obviously, with the other Paul phoning in as well. Firstly, the record books will say if we win 8 in a row and we win the Scottish Cup and the League Cup, that we've done a treble, but I think there's a marked deterioration in the play from the team since Neil Lennon's taken over. And that causes concern. And it causes concern not for this year, because I think we'll win, but for next year. Because I genuinely think that the pool of players that he's working with just now, Virgil van Dijk aside, is far better than the pool of players that he had when he was here previously. So given some of the football that we've played earlier on this season, certainly second last two seasons, I don't think that it's unreasonable to expect a better performance from the team. And I'm not seeing the kind of difference that I would have expected from a new manager coming in and talking about a bounce back and that kind of thing when someone leaves that I would have expected.
Well, the very first thing I said on the programme, since you came on to speak about what I'd said earlier on, the very first thing I said on the programme tonight, the Celtic story so far under Neil Lennon, undefeated but unconvincing.
And that how big a concern is that then? Because Doogie clearly is. The first Paul was, the second Paul wasn't.
It's a funny thing. You know, I think back to his first game against Hearts, odds on Edward late goal. Dundee struggle first half, second half, late goal from odds on Edward again. Aberdeen at Celtic Park, draw. Everything they do is about struggle for me. You know, the unconvincing and yet undefeated. If you get late goals from odds on Edward or anybody else, that proves that you are resilient. That's a good thing. The other side of the coin is you needed those late goals because you were struggling for the remainder of the match. Yeah. And that's why it's a mystery. You know, as Doogie the caller has said, this is a good group of players, a really good group of players. But I wonder if Doogie and the rest who are critical of Neil Lennon, I wonder, are you ruling out the possibility that on Sunday it could come good and go on from there and a grandstand finale could take place where Celtic are concerned? Would you rule that out, Doogie?
No, but if I see something coming from the team that would lead me to believe that next year we're going to be better than we are just now, then clearly not. But I've not seen that. You know, which is the reason why we're having the conversation this evening, is because the performances of the team have been lackluster at best and really poor at worst. I mean, our best performance this season was against Rangers in the first half, but they went a man down and we allowed them then to dominate the game at Celtic Park. Now that, for me, whilst we got the result, and you know, it was a great result to get again. It was a last minute, or certainly last minutes of the game, when Rangers could have stolen an equaliser, the winner. That, you know, emotionally, that was a great result, but it was a terrible performance. And there's only so many of those performances you can watch and say that I am encouraged or I'm confident that manager is going to be the person who's going to deliver us not only 9 in a row next year, but obviously 10 in a row. I've got nothing against Neil Lennon, was a god to me when he was here previously, but I'm not seeing the type of performances that I would have expected to see. And I think we would have had better performances out of another manager.
Doogie, that's why I threw the question back to Paul as to what his, you know, analysis so far of what Neil had done, because I agree with you, they've struggled, and I'll put Livingston in there with the Aberdeen, the draw at home, but where they haven't even scored. You know, the football's been a lot less unattractive than it was under Brendan. Now, given the fact that he likes to, you know, build from the back and it's free-flowing football, likes to break the lines, get it wide, get the ball in the box, but everything's pass. You know, people are talking about Neil Lennon not having his style of play. What is the style of play that Neil's going to create? You know, are we going to get...
I would have said, Gordon, it was very similar to Brendan's. You know, he played a similar type of game, but I think Brendan had better players. So it was a faster pace, the touch was better, the way we moved the ball about was better, we had a more of a threat and attack. We dominated midfield. I used to put a bet on at the beginning of every game that Celtic at some point would be 3-0 up and Tom Rogic would score. And it got to the point where I couldn't actually get any odds on that.
So if Neil Lennon's style is the same as what Brendan is, how come he's not getting the same level of performance out the same players that Brendan had? Because the performances have been totally, totally different.
No, exactly, and that's my concern.
Have they been, Doogie? Have they? Because we get a lot of tweets in saying, do you know what? We had plenty of these days. We had plenty of these sticky performances under Brendan Rodgers this season.
We did. We had, but we didn't have them consistently the way we're having them just now. Mm. It wasn't one after the other. We haven't had a good game since Neil took over. We had one or two under Brendan, and you could point to particular areas of the park. But this has just been a consistent malaise since he's taken over. And all the players are still playing. It's the same players that are playing that were playing under Brendan, but they just don't seem to be clicking the way that they did. And I don't know whether that's, it's his intention, the way that he set up the team. He's got the same players, but he can obviously set up strategically differently in terms of going after the game, or whether the team aren't just performing the way he would like. I don't believe that he's not as frustrated as anyone else. I think he probably is. But it's his job to change that. It's not my job. I can only offer an opinion on how I feel about it. But he's paid that job to actually to get the results and get them in a way that the Celtic supporters are happy with.
All right, thank you to Doogie and Airdrie. Going to have to leave it there, Doogie. We're fast approaching the travel, and I want to quickly squeeze in Aberdeen defender Max Lowe, because he says facing James Forrest in the League Cup final was frightening. The left-back could line up against Forrest again on Sunday. He's aiming to keep him as quiet as possible.
We played in the Cup final. It was frightening, to be fair, because he was, I think he was on the back of scoring 7 goals, and he had a great month. So he's probably one of the best wingers I've played against, and I just try and fry off that opportunity of keeping him quiet, you know, trying to get tight to him for the whole game and just try and keep him quiet. It's a hard job to do, but I'll try my best, and if he's playing and I'm playing, I'll look forward to it. I think just the pace of the boy, like, is very hard to keep up with when he's in his stride, and obviously he's clinical as well, you know, the amount of goals he's scored this season. Everyone can see why he's spoke highly of, and I'm sure he's back down in England as well, so I don't see why he couldn't play in the Premiership. In certain situations in the game, I'm a bit cautious, but like I said, I'll try and run him the other way if I can. So hopefully by 80th minute he'll start getting tired, and then I can run him, keep running him, and hopefully we get a goal from it. So I always see it as that point. But like I said, I do have to be careful, because one slap passing on my head of him, I'm not going to catch him because he is really quick. So there's both sides to it, but hopefully if we get enough of the ball on Sunday, I'll be able to get him running the other way.
When you build the case for Aberdeen, Hugh, you're very right. They've come to Glasgow and been a lot better this season than perhaps in seasons gone by. Got the draw at Celtic Park. They've got a couple over on Rangers in Glasgow this season. That said, over the last 10 games, which is a decent sample size, they've only won 4 of them. So they don't really come here in top form.
Well done to Max Lowe for his honesty, but wow, what's he saying all that for? I was frightened of him. His pace is tremendous. Oh, he could play down England, no problem. And
he's just trying to build him up so that James Forrest gets complacent. False sense of security.
If I was Derek McInnes, I'll let you answer this question and then I'll offer Max Lowe some advice.
Well, if I was Derek McInnes, I'd be saying, what? He said what? I'd be thinking twice about playing him.
Right, listen, I've got advice for Max Lowe. Get your distances right. Right, he's talking about going attacking and trying taking him the other way. If he does that and he leaves that space in behind, the quality that Celtic have in that middle of the park will put James Forrest in behind with his pace. Now, if he sits too far off him, Forrest picks the ball up. He's very, very direct. He's going to commit you. You know, he'll draw fouls out you. You've got to get your distances right. You've got to do your best to stop him getting the ball in the first place.
It's 01419511025 to join in on the phones. Twitter is at Clyde SSB, and there's another big semi-final first, of course, on Saturday. We'll take a look at that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Hugh Keevans here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's all been very split over Neil Lennon, his future, his prospects, the implications for the game at the weekend. And we really are seeing it on Twitter. David Drummond says, I think we need to forget Rodgers. We won't get a manager like him again. And to get 9 and 10, we need someone who's been there and done it in the SPL. Lennon gets my vote if he wins the treble. If not, someone with the knowledge of the SPL is a must. Robert Leckenby, people are needing to look at Lennon's overall record first time. Yes, he won 3 titles and beat Barca, but only 2 cups out of 9. And he only got us into Europe after Christmas once in 4 seasons. So it really is split. I keep saying it. Let's hear from you, fans of clubs who are not playing this weekend, because there's still a lot to look forward to. So get your calls in 01419511025. Crawford is a Hearts fan from Orlando, Florida. I'm surprised you're not making the journey over, Crawford. Surely you're not going to miss a game like this.
No, I would be there if I could, but I'm actually going to be moving back to Glasgow 13 days before the cup final, and I've not been to a Hearts game in 4 years. So hopefully we get there, because the last time I was at Hampden was the 5-1 game, and I just hope after how bad the season's been that we do get a little bit of happiness there.
I mean, Hugh, as if reaching the cup final wasn't important enough for Hearts, Crawford's homecoming depends on it. I mean, he's going to move regardless, but yeah, it'd make all the difference.
Well, that's a great story, and I'd like to ask Crawford, as you look at Inverness Cali Thistle tomorrow and look at the way Hearts have been playing, look at the personal scrutiny that Craig Levein is under, are you fearful, Crawford, or are you super optimistic?
Well, Hugh, I've been on twice, and I think I've spoke to yourself and Alec twice. You probably remember the name. You know what I've said about Craig Levein before. Now, the one tricky thing is, and I'm quietly optimistic, but he's coming up against Wee Robbo, and Wee Robbo knows him inside out. So any trick that Craig Levein thinks he can try and pull, Robbo's going to have the answer to it. So I think, to be honest with you, Craig Levein should be leaning heavily on Austin McPhee this week, because he knows that Robbo will see him inside out, and he'll know all the tactics that he's got in his book. Hearts need to try something different, and they really need to be the opposite to what a Craig Levein team is. They can't be negative, defensive, let's see it out to half-time. Inverness are, albeit in the playoff places in the Championship, but we need to go out there and knock them out in the first half,
but
and
surely,
get ourselves into that final.
Surely Crawford, using that logic, Craig Levein knows Robbo inside out then.
But the difference is, Hugh, and I think you'll know as well, Craig Levein will know Robbo inside out, but Robbo's different. Robbo was a striker and he plays attacking football. Craig Levein's a defender and he plays defensive football.
I honestly think it's all down to the quality of player that you have on your side, and Robbo has done a magnificent job with Inverness Caley-Thistle. He's one of my favourite people in the game of football. However, his players are not as good as Craig Levein's players, and Craig Levein knows in his deepest subconscious, he knows he cannot afford to lose this game because the heart support really will turn on him. But he has better players, and that should be the yardstick.
Crawford, as well as Robbo being a striker, right? I tell you how many goals he's top scorer in the league has this year. 6 goals. So Robbo might have been able to put the ball in the net. Say again?
Beattie, you were one of my favourites when you came into the end of that season. You had more goals than Nick Piazza's got. And I'll give you a quick story because I wanted to ask you about it. The semi-final against Celtic when you scored that penalty, I was on crutches because I'd done soft tissue damage playing football the day before. And I think I fell about 4-5 rows in the madness of that goal going in.
Brilliant.
So
I'll tell you what then.
The greatest days.
Hearts get through to the final. You leave your details with the guys. I'll take you for a coffee before the final.
That'd be great. Thank you very much for that, Craig.
All right, Crawford.
From Orlando. Let's hear from both managers then, shall we? Craig Levein first.
The cup semi-final in itself is something that I've been, I said to you, very much looking forward to. The fact that we, of course, we'd love to have won the game going into this match, I don't think it'll have any bearing on this particular match. And I don't feel under any more pressure than I put myself under because we lost on Saturday. In fact, there's always part he wants to do make up for that as quickly as possible.
Up against John Robertson, of course.
Scottish Cups always bring up stories. They always bring up connections. There's always relationships somewhere along the line. And you look at Saturday, it's no different. You know, Hearts have Jake Mulroney, who was here and won the Challenge Cup with us, in their lineup. And we've got likes of Matt Ridgers, Brad McKay, Ken McHattie. I'm an ex-Hearts player, played for them for many, many years. I'm an ex-Hearts manager. So, you know, there's a connection there. Of course there's a connection there. It's not something that anybody's going to miss. But, you know, as I've said to everybody, be under no illusions whatsoever. My whole focus, my total focus, is on getting Inverness Caledonian Thistle to the cup final. For years, I've been fortunate enough to send Hearts fans home happy by scoring goals for them. On Saturday, my job is to send them home disappointed. And the Inverness fans home happy. And that's my whole focus. That's all I care about, and that's all I want to try and achieve.
Crawford, a lot of the discussion on tonight's show so far has been regarding Neil Lennon's future and what a victory or a defeat would mean on Sunday. What would the victory or defeat mean in terms of Craig Levein? Because I noticed that you and some other Hearts fans are starting to get a bit restless about the club's progress this season.
Yeah, now Craig Levein's in this position where Budge, he's kind of got Budge that, you know, she's got faithful trust in him in whatever he does. But in the eyes of the fans, Craig Levein gets into the final, we win the cup, then he's got a chance to do it next season. But if he loses on Saturday, then his position is completely and entirely untenable. He may stay until the end of the season, but the end of the season he must leave.
The story of this tie has so many subplots. Robbo has just made a perfect case for, you know, he's a former Hearts manager up against his former Hearts teammate as a player, Craig Levein. Another subplot is that Craig Levein has done so much in this game. He has managed his own country. He has managed at the highest level here in Scotland, and he has managed in the top division in England. The one thing that has eluded Craig Levein on the managerial front, he's never won a trophy. And this, I think, is his last chance.
The biggest problem Craig Levein's had is Stephen Naismith getting injured. I've been to see them numerous times this year, with and without Stephen, and he is a fabulous influence on that team. They perform really, really well. He's like a manager and a captain on the pitch as well as a top, top player, and he drags that team through games. See, when he's not missing, there's a huge void in that Hearts team.
Crawford, Hugh makes the case, you know, Hearts have got better players than Inverness. He knows fine well it's not as simple as that, because we've seen it numerous times over the years. How much does the pressure of being overwhelming favourites come into it? Can that be detrimental to Hearts?
Definitely. Look at what happened in 2006 against Gretna. We drew, went 1-0 up within the first 15 minutes. Scatchell scored the volley. And then Gretna grew into the game. Hearts became, I was there, I was 8 years old, but you could feel in the stadium, Hearts were getting uneasy. The fans were turning, albeit we had a great season, but Gretna had just won the second division, I think it was. And they took us to extra time and penalties, and obviously Gavin Skelton hit the bar, and we went on to lift the trophy. But they gave us a tough game, and they were lower. You would probably argue not as good as players as Inverness have got just now as well. So, you know, Hearts really need to take this as if they're playing a Celtic or a Rangers, because if they don't have that mentality, then we could get beat.
Just to expand on my point, and I'll ask Craig Beattie this as well. I would rather start any game knowing that I had better players than the other side. Now, if things go wrong, and we were talking about Neil Lennon and his lack of success in cup finals. I remember Celtic playing Kilmarnock, Kenny Shields, Kilmarnock. Gary Hooper had the sitter of all time after 3 or 4 minutes, and he missed it. And thereafter, Celtic went from bad to worse, and Kilmarnock got the winning goal late into the game. But I would rather start semi-final, final, knowing that initially I've got better players than you have.
Yeah, 100%. If you start as favourites, generally you're doing better, you're in better form, or you get the better players. But in my opinion, when the game starts, that all goes out the window. And for me, games are decided on the team and the individuals that make the most best decisions throughout the game, whether it be when to pass, when to cross, you know, when to go and head the ball, when to slide tackle. It's the little decisions, and they happen every second of the game. They happen, and whatever team makes the best decisions the most will win the game.
Go on then, Crawford. Before we let you go, we'll get a score prediction from you.
I think it's going to be a bit of a touchy 2-1. I did want to say one little quick thing just before I leave.
Go on then,
just to
quickly
find out how important Lockie was in 2012 in the semi-final and the cup final, knowing how big of a jambo he is.
Yeah, and he had missed the previous cup final through injury, so that was a huge day for him. He was the go-between between the players and the coaching staff. Lockie's a huge character, and you know, he's full of laughter, full of banter, and he really, really gets the boys going. You know, great influence in the changing room. But as I've just alluded to there, you know, once we go on the pitch, Lockie can't really affect it.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now, all this week, it's been an extra special Beat the Pundit. Not only do we have the normal rules where you come on, try and beat the pundit, win yourself a signed ball, but also, just for getting through, you win yourself tickets to Clyde One Super Scoreboard Pub Quiz. Now, it kicks off Friday the 19th of April, 1 week tonight. It's at the Drygate Brewing Company. It's a cracking venue if you've never been. The event is sold out. It sold out pretty quickly as soon as they heard that Hugh Keevans was getting the first round in. So if you want to be there, you really have to come on and try and beat the pundit tonight. 01419511025. Give us a call. Give us a call quickly, because you only have until the news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Evans and Craig Beattie are here with me, Gordon Duncan. We've been talking a lot about the Scottish Cup semi-finals, what that means for Neil Lennon, what it means for Craig Levein, and of course on the football itself. So keep those calls coming. We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB, still looking for you fans of other clubs. What about Rangers, for instance? Not a lot to play for this weekend. What's the important thing between now and the end of the season? Is it performances? Is it points? Is it building for the next campaign? You tell us. And we're going to look at the Championship as well, because it is properly heating up. Let's do this first.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time. Hugh and Craig are both standing by. One of them is going to be taking on Darren, who's a Motherwell fan from Wishaw. Hi, Darren.
How you doing?
How are you tonight?
Not bad, take yourself?
Yep, not too bad at all. And just for getting through, Darren, you've already got yourself the tickets. You can now enter your team into Clyde One Super Scoreboard's pub quiz, this time next week, Friday the 19th, at the Drygate Brewing Company. It was sold out, but you've won the tickets just for getting through. You happy with that?
I,
Good day out.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, good prizes on the night, some cash prizes, the chance to come in and sit on the show as well. Also going to be a Q&A with some of the Super Scoreboard team. So for more information, go to @ClydeSSB on Twitter, check out our pinned tweet. Hugh will be there, and Darren from Wishart is going to join them. Let's get to the main event for tonight though. Hugh Heads, you're going to be taking on Darren, and Tails, it will be Craig Beattie. And it is Tails. It's Craig against Darren. Craig's, he's got his head in his hands. Is that not what you were hoping for?
Every time I come in, I'm on.
Is it? Listen, that's what happens. Right, Darren, I'm going to give Craig some Clyde 2 and make sure he can't hear us. And that way you are free to go. You've got 30 seconds. You're head to head. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Yep.
Aberdeen Graham Shinney is in talks to join which English team?
Wigan.
Who's bottom of Scottish League 2?
East Fife.
Where will tonight's sole championship match in Scotland take place?
Pass.
Who's Derek McInnes' assistant manager?
Pass.
What Scottish footballer's married to singer Amy McDonald?
Richie Foster.
Motherwell have agreed to sign which player from Livingston in the summer?
I should know this, and I don't.
What year? We'll just quickly move on. What year did Lee Wallace join Rangers from Hearts? Just take a wee guess. It's the last one.
2011.
Okay, I cannot believe you in the Motherwell question, Darren. Honestly,
I've been working all day, and I've not seen anything.
It is recent news, to be fair. You'll be kicking yourself. Let's bring Craig Beattie back. Craig, are you with us?
Yeah, got you.
You are right. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Aberdeen's Graham Shinney is in talks to join which English team?
Derby.
Who are bottom of Scottish League 2?
Albinovers.
Where will tonight's sole Scottish Championship match take place?
Somerset.
Who is Derek McInnes' assistant manager?
Tony Docherty.
Which Scottish footballer is married to singer Amy McDonald?
Richard Foster.
Motherwell have agreed to sign which player from Livingston?
Pass.
In the summer? What year did Lee Wallace join Rangers from Hearts?
2014.
And who did Inverness beat in the 2015 Scottish Cup semi-final?
Hibs.
Okay. Darren, what do you think of the competition?
I don't know. There's a couple of them.
Darren, I'll tell you what, don't be too hard on yourself, because I'm going to deduct Craig Beattie 15 points. Dundee United against Ayr is on a 65-inch television right in Craig Beattie's eye line, and he answered Somerset Park. Hugh Keevans, that is not a classic moment from the big man.
He's had a brain fade. We'll put it down to that.
Right, Darren, let's find out the damage.
I was looking at the desk concentrating.
I mean, that TV could
at least
not be bigger.
Was playing.
It couldn't be bigger than it's right in front of you.
Oh my God.
Aberdeen's Graham Shinney's in talks to join Derby. 1-0 to Craig Beattie. Bottom of Scottish League 2. You just left League 2 earlier on, but it's Berwick now. So it's 1-0 still to Craig Beattie. Where will tonight's sole championship match take place?
We'll try Tannadice.
Ayr United are playing, but it's Tannadice. So it's still 1-0 Craig Beattie. It then goes 2-0 because Tony Docherty is Aberdeen's assistant manager. Which Scottish footballer married to Amy McDonald? It's Richard Foster. So you both got it, which means it's 3-1 to Craig Beattie. Motherwell have agreed to sign which player from Livingston in the summer?
Declan.
Darren, it's Declan Gallagher.
I definitely should have known it.
Your fellow Motherwell fans won't be letting you off the hook on that one. In what year did Lee Wallace join Rangers from Hearts? 2011. Darren got it. So it could come down to the last question, Craig. You didn't hear Darren's effort. Who did Inverness beat in the 2015 Scottish Cup semi-finals, Hugh? We only spent about 6 weeks on the show talking about it afterwards.
Celtic.
It was Celtic. But don't worry, Darren didn't get that far, Craig. So you have pipped him by one. Hard lines, Darren.
Look at this.
Good man.
Next time.
We'll see you next week at the quiz anyway, Darren. Darren's won tickets to the Clyde One Super Scoreboard pub quiz. This time next week, Hugh Keevans and I are going to be hot footing it. I mean, driving within the speed limit,
of course.
But getting down there very quickly to the Drygate Brewing Company for the quiz. Are you looking forward to it?
Absolutely.
And you're not actually getting the first round in. I wouldn't do that to you. Or are you? I don't know.
Do I look like the type of man who would be buying the first round?
No, absolutely not. How are things going at Tannadice between Dundee United and Ayr with only a couple of minutes on the clock?
It's a game of high significance, because if Dundee United drop anything, then Ross County, who play Partick Thistle tomorrow, could be crowned champions and would be automatically promoted to the Premiership if they were to beat Partick Thistle. So this game tonight is possibly Ross County's down payment on promotion, but Partick Thistle are desperate for the points up there tomorrow, so all to play for in Dingwall.
Yeah, I've seen Ross County playing in the Ironbrook Cup final this year, and you know they're a really good side. They won't drop points tomorrow, and you know they're champions elect. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion.
Hugh, do you want to spend a bit of time talking about the bigger picture, because we've had a lot of focus on the Scottish Cup semi-finals this weekend. What about the remainder of the season then for the teams who are not involved, particularly in this city? That would be Rangers. What about between now and the end of the season? Points, performances, both playing for places next season.
Rangers have to keep going. They have an obligation to the people who support them to keep going and to make Celtic wait as long as possible before they are crowned champions. And if they can, see that it goes to the very last day of the season, if necessary. So, you know, it's not as if they've lost to Celtic. Celtic have put the down payment on 8 in a row. Therefore, Rangers look out the Ambrì-Salers and go on holiday. They are obliged to keep going. Season tickets, for example, will come up for renewal any day now at Rangers. And the one way to guarantee that you get the season tickets renewed is to give the supporters a sense of optimism. Rangers simply have to keep going, beginning with Hearts at Tynecastle next weekend.
I mean, Craig, if, as most people do, accept that the league will be won within the next couple of weeks, I suppose there would be a temptation there to maybe play some other players, try some different things, try and look to next season, try and build. But also then, as Hugh says, some people might tell you there's actually a need to put, you know, keep the foot to the floor, make sure that gap doesn't get any bigger, really keep it as much pressure as is possible on Celtic. Which is more important?
Yeah, I think, you know, thinking back to when I was at Celtic and, you know, trying to get opportunities when I was younger and stuff, and that was one of the occasions where you would get extra games. You know, once the league was maybe won, a couple of the youngsters would get bloodied. Given the circumstances with Neil Lennon, you know, being on trial, as Hugh alludes to it, that I don't think that'll happen. I think it'll be, you know, I think the accelerator will be pressed right till the final whistle and try and make it as many points as possible and give himself the best opportunity of getting the job.
I mean, for Steven Gerrard, Hugh, there's so much debate on this show about, you know, the level of progress and whether it's all about points gaps, whether it's about performances. I don't really want to get right back into that because we've done it a million times. But will that shape how they approach the end of the season then?
I don't know to what extent they can approach the rest of this season with an eye on next season. I think you heard from the first couple of callers tonight, both Celtic supporters, both called Paul. 10 in a row is of the deepest significance for the Celtic support. Therefore, it has to be of the deepest significance to the Rangers support. And those who invest in Rangers and invest in the team in particular. And that applies to Celtic as well. Once this season is over and we're talking about perhaps 9 in a row for the second time for Celtic, or the end of Celtic's 10 in a row dream because Rangers pipped them to the title, everything is about how much money Celtic and Rangers spend in this summer, because both need a bit of an overhaul.
I think a massive problem that Rangers and Steven Gerrard have got here, it's not spending, it's going to be getting rid of some of the players that they've got. They've got players there on 2-3 year contracts, players to come back on loan, players that they've got on loan that they're going to lose. And you know, they must have about 35 players in their first team squad, and that's before they add anybody. So I think they've got to get at least 10 players out the door, which costs you significant money as well.
Same actually goes for Celtic, doesn't it? We've done that before. You could rhyme off a list of guys who will never darken the door of the first team dressing room at any time in the future.
Listen, the thing is that Celtic don't, whoever gets a job is going to then look at the squad and address the squad, but they could be inheriting potentially a treble winning squad. That's not as important as what Rangers are going to do, in my opinion.
I had a penalty shout there. Bobby Madden waves it away. It was for Dundee United at Tannadice. Still goalless between United.
Can you mention Tannadice anymore?
Oh, yes, I think you'll find I can between now and 8 o'clock. Partick Thistle fans, I wonder if any of you are out there. Alloa, Falkirk, the picture at the bottom, even Morton. It's getting very tense indeed. Give us your thoughts, because the Championship is still in action this weekend. Let's speak to Paul in Paisley first, though. Hi, Paul.
Hiya, how you doing, Gordon?
Not too bad, Paul. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, I was just wanting to make a point just about some of the calls from my fellow Celtic fans and some of the things that Craig's been saying there tonight. I don't know if everybody's got a wee bit of amnesia going on. Like, the performances for Celtic this whole season have been under par. It's under Brendan Rodgers. And obviously that's continued through to Neil Lennon. And yeah, people seem to forget as well, Brendan Rodgers overseen one of the worst performances that Celtic have had against Rangers in years, just a couple of weeks before they left. So I don't know where this idea, there seems to be this idea that Brendan Rodgers played this amazing, we were playing this amazing brand of football all season, and it's simply not true. I don't know where this idea came from.
I think it came from 7 trophies in a row under Brendan Rodgers.
No, Paul's talking about the style of football.
Yeah, but you know, this season, I mean, the first season is the invincible season. 4 draws the whole season long. No defeats, 4 draws. The second season is not as good as that, and the third season, not as good as the 2 that had gone before. However, there was a belief in Brendan Rodgers, and Paul would have to acknowledge that. There was an immense belief in Brendan Rodgers, and the impact of Brendan Rodgers' departure for Leicester is still being felt to a degree. I don't know whether some of the players miss him, the supporters, some will miss him. I know that someone referred to him as Judas earlier on in the programme. That's the way people speak. But a lot of Celtic supporters still miss Brendan Rodgers. We wouldn't be having this debate about do Aberdeen have a chance on Sunday or can Celtic overcome Aberdeen. We wouldn't be having this debate if Brendan Rodgers was still Celtic manager, because the Celtic supporters would believe that Celtic would win that match. But since Brendan left...
That's unfair on Aberdeen. You know, I mean, because Aberdeen have gave Celtic good games, you know, I mean, the last couple of seasons, and obviously they beat Rangers, as you said, 3 times this season. So that's unfair on Aberdeen.
No, because Celtic beat Aberdeen every time out in cup football.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat it last season, I'm pretty sure.
I'm talking about cup football. I said every time Celtic played Aberdeen.
Yeah, but to be fair, you're saying, you know, there wouldn't be a discussion to be had if Brendan Rodgers was here. Brendan Rodgers managed Celtic against Aberdeen in the League Cup final. You know, it was 1-0. It wasn't 7. It wasn't an absolute rampant victory, which would then write off Aberdeen's future chances.
But you can't revise history altogether. The Celtic support believed implicitly in Brendan Rodgers. They had this phrase, "In Brendan we trust." Now, you can't revise history. That was the case.
Yeah.
So there's no point.
A lot of people are revising history, because a lot of people are looking back now and saying, oh, it's so terrible the football we're playing under Lennon. We've been playing the same way all season.
Paul, if you were an Aberdeen fan, who would you rather the Celtic manager was coming into semi final?
I don't think it makes a big difference. Well,
of course
it does. We've recognised the frailties in the Celtic team for nearly 3 seasons. We know the back four is not good enough. We've all recognised that. They can be a bit powder puff at time, you know what I mean, in terms of if Scott Brown's not at it and being the enforcer, there's not really anybody else who steps up to the plate.
Callum McGregor was magnificent when he went in there earlier on the season when Brown was out. That was the turning point.
But
I tell you what, it suited the style of Brendan and the way he wanted to move the ball. He passes the ball forward more, he plays the ball quicker, and that was the turning point. There was a 6-0 drubbing up at McDermott Park against St Johnson, and Brown getting injured and McGregor getting in there was a turning point in Celtic season after a bit of a hangover from last season.
Paul, in terms of the contact we have, whether it's, you know, phone calls or tweets or whatever, most of the people who are talking about the style of football is your fellow Celtic fans. I mean, on Saturday after the show. So why do you think they're feeling it then? I'm not, you know, you're disagreeing with it, which is absolutely fine. Yeah. Why are they under the impression that the football? Because it's easy to say, you know, or the media are doing it, or people from the outside. Why are so many Celtic fans convinced that the football isn't as good?
I think there's obviously, the closer we get to 10 in a row, there's a panic setting in now, and you know what I mean. Obviously, we want it to be delivered, and people are just desperate to try and get the best person in for that job now. I think people talk about Marco Rose and Roberto Martinez. I can't see that happening. It'll be a David Moyes, it'll be an Owen Coyle. That's the kind of person it's going to be. And if you gave me David Moyes, Owen Coyle or Neil Lennon, I'd take Neil Lennon every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Well, God help us if the panic's setting in already, two and a quarter years away from 10 in a row.
Marco Rose has already agreed to join Borussia Mönchengladbach, so you forget about him. I give you the cast iron guarantee, old pal of mine that he is, I give you the cast iron guarantee that Owen Coyle will not come into the betting for the Celtic job. David Moyes, if Neil Lennon polarises the Celtic support, so will David Moyes, whose managerial career has been in decline since he left Everton. So it's a fascinating subject. If the press, the dreaded media, had said as much of a negative nature about Neil Lennon as the Celtic supporters have said, there would have been mayhem. So for me, he goes into Sunday's match undefeated but unconvincing. He needs a victory with conviction over Aberdeen. He needs Celtic style. And again, taking my authority from the callers to this programme, I would say that it's becoming more and more of a necessity for Neil to win on Sunday.
Thank you to Paul in Paisley. Grant is a Rangers fan on the line. Hi, Grant.
Hi, guys. How you doing? All right?
Not too bad, Grant. What's your point tonight?
I was just listening to you probably no more than 10 minutes ago talking about how Rangers should be finishing off the season. Now, when I phoned into you, it was just after Rangers drew 0-0 with St Johnstone at Ibrox, and I said the league was done. I said the league was over. Mm-hmm. That was at 8 points. I stood by that prediction. I was obviously right. It's obviously got a bit worse points wise. But the way I see it is, I think this could be the first time in a few years at Ibrox that it won't be as big a player turnover at Ibrox during the summer. And I say that obviously because I've always said that strides have been made. You know, I mean, European run, the win over Celtic, and whatever else. But the consistency has been the bigger issue. But I think this is the strongest top six in the SPL for a number of years when you look at who's in it. And I genuinely believe that we should be hammering a knuckle blow to all these teams. Hearts are going to raise their game. They're always up in the top six. You know what I mean? Hibs have nabbed a few points off us this season. They're going to come to Ibrox and play well. Aberdeen have had more success at Ibrox in the past couple of seasons than they have in the last 30 years. Celtic probably is going to be confirmed as champions by the time they come. Why not give them a knockout blow, put them in their place? Kilmarnock, you know what I mean? Kilmarnock have been excellent this season, as Hugh Keevan says, the team that wouldn't go away. You know what I mean? I think there's plenty to play for, and I think a few players have got to play for their futures, but I generally think they should be finished the season off as strongly as possible, but there's cause for optimism, I think, going into the summer.
Grant, you just identified a number of teams here that are taking points, and they've been doing pretty well against the likes of Rangers and Celtic, particularly Rangers. See, in my opinion, see from growing up watching a really, really dominant Rangers and Celtic and then playing in a dominant Celtic, these teams should be taking little to nothing from the Old Firm. Now, that might sound arrogant. That might be kind of typical Glasgow or whatever you think, you know, overrating the Old Firm. But these teams should be coming to Glasgow and taking very, very little to nothing. They shouldn't be coming down here and having any success at all, in my opinion.
Is that based on, you know, budget, that essentially?
Yeah, budget, size of clubs, support, the quality of management and coaches they can bring in, the quality of players, the amount of internationals. You know, we talk about Kilmarnock. Chris Boyd and Chris Burke are two of the main players for Kilmarnock this year, but they're right at the end of their career.
Well, Burke certainly has. Boyd's had a bit more of a bit part this season, hasn't he, compared to last season?
Last couple of seasons, over Steve Clarke's success, particularly last season, they did score a few goals. And the rest of the team's made up of kind of lower league players and just a manager who organises. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. He organises well, but they shouldn't be taking the points off of Rangers and Celtic that they have been. And Rangers have got a massive overhaul, in my opinion, in the summer with the number of players that they have.
Thank you to Grant, who's a Rangers fan. Going to have to leave it there because we're running a bit late. We've got John, who's also a Rangers fan. He's coming up next, and we've got a full-time teaser that you two are going to get stuck right into after this.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Hugh Keevans are here. Get in touch with us on the phones or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Big night in the Championship. Dundee United 0, Ayr United 0. Remember, if Dundee United drop anything and Ross County win tomorrow, the title is there. They'll be back in the top flight next season. Get your passports looked out for those big away days, Hugh.
It's only up the road, Dingwall, you know. You'll be back in time for Easter.
Not too far at all. A good away day, that one coming soon, you would imagine. If it's not this weekend, it will be secured. The situation at the bottom in many ways is as interesting, more interesting. So if there's any fans caught up in that, let's hear from you right now. 0141 951 1025. But first of all, I've got a full time teaser for you. And it is as follows. Can you name the starting 11 from Rangers' last Scottish Cup win? Cup final win, I should say. Falkirk 2009. Name Rangers' starting 11.
John Fleck?
No.
No. That's a good start.
McGregor.
No.
Wow.
I don't like the silence, I must say. I really don't like that silence. You can play along with us at Clyde SSB on Twitter. This question tonight was sent in by Colin Graham in Motherwell. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the address you need to send the question to.
Kip Broadfoot.
No. Right, you're the right era with both of those guys, but
2009, you said?
Yes.
Stephen Davis?
No. This is a spectacular start, even by your standards. No? Anyone? Anyone out there? All right, okay. We'll leave it open to the public. They can help. I'm not going to read
Kevin
out.
Thompson.
I'm not going to read out that help. Nope. At Clyde SSB if you want to play along. Fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send it in. We're looking for the starting 11. Rangers' last Scottish Cup final win against Falkirk in 2009. The guys have got a grand total of none.
You want it in your hand?
So far. No, no, no. Yes. You want it? These are getting worse. These are getting worse.
I'd been down England 2 years by then, you.
Craig was actually close with a couple of those guesses. You are just... I'm going to give you some time to regain your composure. John is a Rangers fan from Barrhead. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, you. Hi, Craig.
Hi, John. Hello.
Right, this is just my opinion, right? I think Celtic will keep me winning, right? Celtic are going to have to sell players. On the Champions League front, I think it's a no-no. It's getting harder, as you know. The money has been spent in wages. They won't keep that up. And I think it'll be back to a level keel. What does the panel think of that?
Well, first of all, Celtic are cash rich to begin with. They're not in a position where they have to sell players. If they get a tidy offer in, then they will consider it, obviously, because history tells you that when Celtic bring in players at a relatively small transfer fee, the intention is to heighten their profile, make them better players, and then sell them for a bigger transfer fee. So no one can quibble with that. However, they don't have to sell players, and I keep going back to this 10 in a row phenomenon. This is what's got Glasgow's attention and won't give up. Celtic, through Dermot Desmond, the principal shareholder, and Peter Lawwell, the chief executive, must be as aware as any supporter of how much 10 in a row means to the people who follow the club, and therefore rather than have to sell players, they will have to buy players, because the supporters will expect investment over the next 2 years.
I mean, Craig, the problem with John's theory, there are a lot of ifs there. Celtic, yeah, and he is right, by the way, it clearly is getting harder to qualify for the Champions League, but they're still going to be in there. There's still a realistic chance that they do make it, and then you know what that brings cash wise.
Yeah, listen, Celtic setting out at the start of the season, their first target is the Scottish Premiership, and then it's the domestic competitions. Anything that happens in the Champions League is a bonus. They would love to qualify for the Champions League, they would love to get out the group stages, but they will not invest heavily in order to do so. It's too big a gamble. I have this argument every year with people. We need to spend an 8, 9, 10 million pounds on a striker that's going to get us out. Absolute nonsense. You could sign one, he could get injured in his first friendly. He's not going to spend astronomical amounts of money to try and get through or out the Champions League.
I mean, John, that is still a possibility, isn't it, John?
Can I come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
Again?
On you go,
Craig. I totally agree with what you're saying. They're not going to spend astronomical amounts of money, right? And I think with the wages what it'll pay Neil Lennon compared to Brendan Rodgers, right? And as I'll repeat again, this Champions League is getting harder. They're making it harder for the likes of us in Scotland, right? And honestly, I can't see Celtic getting in the Champions League. I actually think the Europa League is Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen and Kilmarnock's level.
Yeah, which you know is actually a competition that costs you money unless you go far in it.
Well, not for the likes of Celtic and Rangers. I mean, for the smaller teams it can be a bit difficult logistically to start, but Celtic and Rangers made decent money relatively off the Europa League last season. So if they were both to be in it and they were both to make the same amount, Hugh, Celtic are still in front, because they start in front if you're talking about just purely money.
Yeah, I mean, Celtic have gathered money and haven't spent a great deal of it. I mean, we all go back to Odson Edouard and the fee, but they had most of that fee was taken care of by Stuart Armstrong going to Southampton. So Celtic run their business very shrewdly, very efficiently. And I go back to the point, 10 in a row is now one country's obsession. Those who care about Celtic and Rangers, it's their obsession. And it must be an obsession shared by those who run both of those clubs, and money will be spent by Celtic.
Thanks to John, who's a Rangers fan from Barrhead. We have had a goal at Tannadice. Dundee United 0, Ayr United 1. Looping header at the back post, Craig Beattie.
Yeah, good header. Got up well at the back post. Really, really good header across the goalkeeper. And you know, it's a huge goal.
It really is, Hugh, because not only would a draw tonight be enough to give Ross County the opportunity to win it tomorrow, but certainly an Ayr United victory would be so. Those in Dingwall will be watching with interest.
Well, the fascination of the game tomorrow, should this scoreline remain, Ross County can go up automatically as champions. By the same token, Craig will have played in matches where nerves can get the better of people, and Partick doesn't go up there absolutely desperate for the points. Desperate. So it would be a highly strung occasion in Dingwall tomorrow should Ayr United win this one at Tannadice 1-0.
Stephen Bell's goal separates the sides at the moment, 28 minutes on the clock. It really, and I don't mean to demean the top of that division, but the bottom is incredible, Hugh Keevans. Well, Gary Caldwell, let's hear from him first. He's telling his players not to take any notice of the table. That's the way he's going to handle it. Partick Thistle fans, tell us what you think right now. 4 points separating the whole bottom half of that league. He is happy with the form, he's happy with the mentality, and he's looking for that to continue with tomorrow's trip to Ross County.
Similar experiences in the Premiership with Wigan, where there was, I think, one season 6 or 7 teams were involved in it. So it is what it is. We focus on ourselves, we focus on the next game and trying to get 3 points, and we still have the potential to finish in a very respectable position in this league, considering where we were early in the season. So that is our main focus. And I'll tell them not to look at the league. The league's irrelevant right now. The league matters after the last game of the season, and that is when everyone can make their opinions on, is it a good season, is it a bad season. That is when we can sit down as a club and assess the season as a whole and see where we are. So I tell the players to focus on what we do, focus on the next game and the challenge that Ross County bring, and be ready to compete and be ready to win a game of football. If we win every game, we will finish, I don't know where, but very high up this league considering where we are at the minute. So that is our focus, purely on our own games, on our performance, on what we need to do to win those games. So the players are in good spirits, they're in good form from the turn of the year. We are one of the form teams in the league, and we have to continue to do that right to the last game of the season.
The man who's thrown a spanner into the works here is our old pal Jim Goodwin at Alloa, because it's very pertinent of them, but they keep winning games they're not supposed to win, and they're the part-time team, and they were the ones who were supposed to go down, and everyone had more or less come to that conclusion, and it was playoff time for the rest. However, Alloa, they've gone off the bottom now, and they're at home, I think, the Queen of the South tomorrow.
They
and there's another fascinating game. If Alloa get another 3 points, well, it just adds to the whole cutthroat nature of the business.
Jim McLaughlin's on Twitter. He's a Partick Thistle fan. Have feared for Thistle's chances for a long time, but think the fixtures will help us go down versus a title chasing Ross County tomorrow. Falkirk play County and Dundee United in the last two fixtures when their season will be over. We face Queen of the South at Palmerston on the last day. Good luck to anyone who wants to guess what's going to happen, Craig, when you've got half a division separated by 4 points.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, it makes it exciting. And you know, listening to Gary Caldwell there, he says, well, I agree with him in terms of, you know, the league tells you nothing until the final ball's been kicked and the whistle's been blown. But then he went on to say that, you know, you then reflect on your season and see whether it's been a good one or a bad one. I tell you right now, it's been a really, really poor season for Partick Thistle. A club that size shouldn't be anywhere near that position in the league, as Hugh's just alluded to there. The flip side of that coin is Alloa. You know, they've had a super season regardless, to be able to, you know, get up there and compete and keep in touch. So in terms of, it's not over till it's over. Yeah, he's correct, but you know, a really poor season for Thistle.
Yeah, a lot to like about that division. The bottom half is exciting for the neutral. It must be brutal for the for those involved.
It must be brutal for Stephen Dobie. He scored about 100 goals this season and he's fighting still relegation struggling. Still, I'd be walking in that changing room and saying to my centre half, what's going on here?
He'll be hobbling in because he got injured the other night, so yeah, that could have a big implication. Right, what about this teaser? So we're approaching 10 years since Rangers winning the Scottish Cup against Falkirk in 2009. So can you name the starting 11 that day? There are loads of great answers coming in on Twitter. As always, we get a great response. Jerry H has nailed almost the full team. Shug's got a couple.
Does he get Morris Edu?
No, he has not. Mikey has got a couple as well. Not one single correct answer from in the studio.
Hutton?
Nope.
Andy Little?
This is a new record. This is a new record. That's about a dozen guesses, not a single one right. See, the thing is, Craig, I thought you were on the right track because you're Kirk Broadfoot, you're Alan McGregor, you're bang on with the era. I mean, he was struggling with the era. You were bang on. It just so happens that those guys didn't play that day. So if it wasn't Alan McGregor, who would it be?
10 years ago, I don't know.
Cammy Bell.
Is
that obvious? The goalkeeper.
It is quite, because at this time, particularly at the end of that season, and then at the end of the season's round about it, cup games as well, there was another guy who played quite a lot.
Carroll? No.
Oh my goodness. You two need some help. Thomas is in Clydebank. Hi, Thomas. Knightswood, sorry. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Thomas.
What's your point, Thomas?
I'm going to embarrass you and Craig here. Surely the goalkeeper's Neil Alexander.
Yes, and I don't mind giving them a bit of help because they desperately need it. Thomas is a Celtic fan and he's got on. Well done. It was Neil Alexander. Does that make sense now?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of a UEFA Cup team and then you follow on the following year. So
exactly, good man. See, Thomas,
Celtic fan. Yep, too right. I was just on just to speak to Craig. Hi, Craig, how's it going?
Hi, Thomas.
Just obviously all the best for your team tomorrow, but I know I'm maybe rewinding the clock a wee bit. I was actually at Hampden when you scored that penalty.
Uh-huh.
Correct me if I'm wrong, was it the handball from Ledley that
and Wanyama? It was two handballs in
there. The referee thought it was Wanyama, and you obviously scored. You ran away. You celebrated. And like I said, I'm rewinding that a wee bit. At no point did I, as a fan standing in this, you know, in the stands, think, you know, I'm going to go down and I'm going to assault that player, or I want one of my players to assault that guy. You know, just rewind it a wee bit back to what happened to Scott Brown a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
You're probably in the minority, to be honest.
I did think he relished it a little bit too much, but you know, that's what players do, innit? You know, that's they live for those moments. I don't know, Craig. I mean, it was a decent penalty, to be fair.
So just in the passing, Thomas, if Scott Brown relishes beating Rangers at time up, is no one else supposed to relish a victory or a winning goal?
No, that's what I'm saying. You know, these players do relish it and they're entitled to celebrate it. And the reaction from, you know, fans in the stand and opposition players on the park needs to kind of take recognition of that. You know, it's, you know, it's all about celebrating your team, and players are entitled to celebrate, if you ask me.
Exactly. Thomas, I agree with you, but I think there's got to be a safety element of it. You know, jumping into crowd and stuff like that when there's little kids about, I'm not for that.
And that's not you saying Scott Brown did that either.
But I think you've got to be sensible with it, and you know, I think safety's paramount. So as long as you're celebrating and you're not putting anybody at risk, I've got absolutely no issues.
What are you thinking about the game on Sunday, Thomas? Confident, apprehensive, somewhere in between?
It's going to be difficult. I don't often go to Hampden. Probably the last time I was there was when Craig scored that winner.
Put him off for
life. I'd certainly say I'm a bit of a jinx. So if you're a betting man, get the money on Aberdeen. You know,
please bet responsibly.
It's going to be difficult because Aberdeen are doing well in Glasgow this year, you know, and it really is all about how we start the game. And I think, you know, no disrespect, but I think that the team that wins on Sunday is probably going to go into the final as a favourite.
The funny thing about Neil Lennon's team, Thomas, it's not about how Celtic start the games, it's about how they finish. Because what has characterised Neil Lennon's takeover of the team following Brendan Rodgers' departure is the big finish, not the big start. It's the big finish.
Thank you, Thomas, in Knightswood. Let's see if you can provide a big finish on the full-time teaser, because you've got one of the right answers, and that came from Thomas. It didn't come from you guys. So 10 years ago, Rangers beating Falkirk in the Scottish Cup final.
Barry Ferguson.
The starting 11. Neil Alexander was one of them.
Barry Ferguson.
Yes, we're finally off and running in the studio. Craig Beattie, no pressure.
Lee McCullough.
Yes, you've got the bit between your teeth now. Anymore? Okay, we'll find out next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Craig Beattie and Hugh Keevans were putting in one of the worst full-time teaser performances I had ever seen, but they're pulling it back, in fairness to them. We're looking for the starting 11 from when Rangers beat Falkirk in the Scottish Cup final in 2009. Neil Alexander was the keeper. Just wait a wee.
Davey Weir.
Barry Ferguson and Lee McCullough. Davey Weir did play. Hugh Keevans. I'm looking forward to Hugh's guesses, because some of them have been wild.
Amoruso.
I never said that. That was Craig Beattie.
Think your teammates are Jonathan Johansson, Hugh. Get that.
An add-on 10 years. None, Hugh.
Try to get through Dick Advocat's team.
Why?
Because the caller who gave us Neil Alexander said, think about the team that in the UEFA Cup final, and then add on.
Yes, and?
Right, who, I left Celtic in 2007.
Did you?
Yeah. So 2009, so a couple of years after I left Celtic. So I was watching English football then, not Scottish football. So forget about Dick Advocat.
This is magnificent. Dundee United.
Stephen Smith.
I'll tell you what, bodes well for the pub quiz next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I said this earlier on. I really think if it was just to be you, Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson in the team, I think you would finish last.
Well,
if you get reinforcements from the Roger Hannas of the world.
I might think better with a glass of something in my hand, you know.
Stephen Smith, no. He was in here on Wednesday night as our guest, but no. Still 1-0, by the way, approaching half-time between Dundee United and Ayr. 1-0 to Ayr United. Remember, the significance being, if Dundee United don't take all 3 points, Ross County can win the title at home to Partick Thistle tomorrow. So there's one to watch out for.
Ross McCormack?
No. My goodness. Your time frame. You were on the right track. Alexander and Weir, McCulloch, Ferguson. I mean, some of these names are huge names. There are only a couple I would say are even remotely tricky. Easy for me to say when I've got the list, but
Pedro?
No. What is going on? Think along the lines of
Nacho Novo?
No. Think along the lines of Davey Weir, Barry Ferguson, Lee McCulloch. What have all those got in common?
They're old. Oh, they were older then.
And where did they come from?
Scotland.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a few other well-known Scots to get. Let's speak to William, a Celtic fan from Motherwell. Hi, William.
Hi there, good evening. Hi Hugh, hi Craig.
Hi William.
I was listening to you on the way up the road from work this evening, and I managed to catch the beginning of the programme, and I can see there's a conflicting between Neil Lennon and the Celtic manager's post. My view as a Celtic season ticket holder is that the Celtic fans absolutely love Neil Lennon, but there's a split here regarding the future of the club under his leadership, and I'm one of the fans that I don't think he should be the manager. I unfortunately sat through that game last Sunday between Celtic and Livingston, and that was absolute torture to sit through. The one of your callers earlier on had made a comment about some of the games since Neil's came back. We've been winning, but we've not been winning with any kind of style. Celtic, in my opinion, what I'd like to happen is I'd like Dermot Desmond to come out and say something, because it was him that brought Mark Lemieux to the club. It was him that brought Brendan Rodgers to the club. So if they appoint Neil Lennon as the new Celtic manager, I'd like to know if he had a decision in that. Now, if Celtic are desperate to get the 10 in a row, which we are desperate to get it, they have to be ambitious enough to go and get a manager the same quality as Brendan Rodgers. And if that means paying a wee bit more money, then they have to do that. Who that manager is going to be, I don't know. But it shouldn't be Neil Lennon. That's my own opinion, and I know some Celtic fans will disagree with me, and some will agree with me. But in my view is, the main player here is Dermot Desmond. He's the guy that should make this decision. Yeah.
Would you agree, William, that common decency would dictate that Neil Lennon gets to finish the season so that he can lay his claim to get the job?
Yes, I would say that, Hugh, I would say that the decision to bring Neil Lennon in as the interim manager was the right decision. I think it was absolutely the right decision. And yes, I do think he should finish the season. I think if we're lucky to win on Sunday and get through to the cup final, and lucky to win the cup final and win 8 in a row, I think Neil should be saying, very well done, thank you, but we're going to move to somebody else.
Under those circumstances then, William, he has to be given until the end of the season. He has to be allowed to stake his claim as best he can. And therefore, Dermot Desmond, and you're right, he wields a huge influence. Dermot Desmond must keep his own counsel until the season is over. You know, they have to give Neil Lennon the appropriate amount of time. That's every league game and cup tie remaining. And then Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell can say where the club is headed and how they intend to go on from here, and whether Neil Lennon gets it or whether they are going to go for someone else.
Historically, Hugh, you don't tend to get a sort of public statement as such from Dermot Desmond, do you? It's always been a very silent role. Now and then he pops up different places, often at the side of a golf course, and there are various interviews that will take place. But
there comes the watershed moment, Gordon. And the watershed moment for Ronnie Dyler was losing to Rangers in another semi-final at Hampden. And the club then issued a statement to say that Ronnie Dyler would not be the manager at the start of the next season. So Neil Lennon, in my opinion, who has taken the 8-point lead, turned it into an 11-point lead, you know, he has to be given until the end of the season. Decency tells you that. And then Dermot Desmond and Peter Lawwell can explain why Neil Lennon is going to be the new manager on a permanent basis, or why he's not going to be the permanent manager.
There also may be an element of, when it comes to the summer, there's a player merry-go-round, players start to move, transfers could then come in. And also it might happen with managers. You know, managers might kind of lose a job at the end of the season or move on to a better job, which maybe free up another manager. So listen, I think Neil's going to see it out, and then they'll take their time over the summer. Well, they'll take a little bit of time, and then they'll, I'm sure they'll get the decision right.
Thanks to William and Motherwell. We're going to have to end it earlier, William, and you can blame Hugh Keevans and Craig Beattie, because they've still got so much work to do on the teaser, so much so that Jerry tweeted in to say there's a trip to Miami on offer if they two pundits get more than 8 correct. That's how confident Jerry's feeling.
Lafferty.
The Rangers starting 11 when they beat Falkirk in the cup final 2009. You've got Alexander, Weir, Ferguson, McCulloch, Lafferty. Yes, Hugh Keevans.
There you go. That's two I've got so far.
Any more?
Chuffed bits.
I mean, the trip to Miami will be null and void when I have to start giving clues. What about the front two? What would be a really, really well-known Rangers front two from that era? Who scored all the Rangers goals? Not all, but a vast majority of Rangers goals at that time.
I said Boyd.
No, you didn't.
I said Boyd at the start.
But you should have. Chris Boyd.
Right.
Any more? Who would have been alongside him? The silence is ominous.
I was right in there.
Who would have been alongside Chris Boyd? You do it up.
Listen, I've won my beat the pundit.
No, you've not got time for that. Come on, quick. Boyd and
Kenny Miller. Oh,
Kenny Miller, my goodness. Right, what about midfield? What about a player who's back at the club?
I said Steve Davis.
And I said Boyd.
You didn't say Boyd, but
I definitely said Steven Davis earlier on.
Okay, he's in there. My apologies. Maybe I was distracted. But you've still got three of a back four to get. Who would have been probably right back, played for Hibs?
Ooh,
Stephen Whittaker.
Who did Mark Wilson scalp in the dish with the ball?
Papic.
So that's a Papic. And the last one, Algerian defender.
Oh,
Majid
Bugera.
We kind of got there in the end. That was a struggle. But there we go. Thank you, Hugh Keevans.
That went better than I expected.
And Craig Beattie, we are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big games across the place. Your chance to join us as well. Stay where you are because GBX Friday is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.